Our Old Testament reading for this last Sunday of the church year is from Isaiah chapter 51. You can find it on page 612 of the Pew Bibles. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out for me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the people. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Jude. It's on page 1027. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Jesus said, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, give me peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Prosaically, it's the last Sunday of the church year. Other traditions call this Christ the King Sunday. That name, celebrating it on this Sunday, comes from 1925, rather recent. Pope Pius XI wrote an encyclical named Quas Primas that sought to address problems that he saw developing, mostly fascism and communism, to address them with a churchly response. Just one quote from that address. These manifold evils in the world were due to the fact that the majority of men had thrust Jesus Christ and his holy law out of their lives. That these had no place either in private affairs or in politics. And we said further that as long as individuals and states refused to submit to the rule of the Savior, there would be no really hopeful prospect of lasting peace among nations. Now, I'm willing to believe that the interwar years might have been terrible. I'm also willing to think that a pope or a simple minister might always see manifold evils in the world. But part of Pius XI's argument in that letter is an appeal to history. He cites the persecutions of the early church being met with a remembrance of the martyrs, what we observed a couple weeks ago, All Saints' Day. And the church persevered. He continues to talk about problems that devotions to Mary or Corpus Christi processions or Sacred Heart festivals met through the centuries. And with all seriousness and what I would label as an amazing optimism, Pius thinks that his new dedication of Christ the King will recall Christendom to the holy law of Jesus Christ. And in that easy yoke and light burden, to a hopeful prospect of a lasting peace among the nations. Of course, the first of Stalin's 5-year plans was adopted just 3 years later, with its mass starvations and liquidations of various peasantry. And what Pius might have known most from Mussolini, in 8 years, Germany would have Hitler, and World War II would formally start 14 years after Pius's encyclical. None of what Pius said is wrong. Without the King of Peace, there's no hope of lasting peace. And without the holy law, both in private and public affairs, individuals and nations quickly run aground. The history of time since Pius's letter is largely one of pushing that law of Christ further away and suffering the consequences, both in our personal lives, as they become lives of chaos and dissonance, and in our public lives, as war in all of its forms, from the live shooting kind to the cultural kind, dominates our existence. None of what Pius said is wrong, except for maybe his sunny optimism that Christendom would hearken to the word. He needs a few Lutherans. And the extent that the kingship of Christ could be realized in this old world. We're completing our reading of Mark chapter 13 today, and the lectionary leaves out the same part that Pius did not see. It's a part that starts when you see the abomination of desolation standing where he ought not to. Let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Jesus is describing the days of what he calls the tribulation. Now, most of this, thinking back to our various threads that are in Mark 13, is directly about the fall of Jerusalem. in AD 70, until that abomination is seen, regular life and its rhythms would continue. But when you see the abomination, let the one who is on the housetop not go down. Let the one who is in the field not turn back to take a cloak. Pray that it's not in winter. In those days, don't think about regular life. In those days, false Christs and false prophets will arise and will perform wonders. In those days, if it were possible, even the elect would be led astray. So be on guard. I have told you all things beforehand. That AD 70 functions as a prophetic type. And across time, I think there have been various fulfillments of that type. Worlds have come to an end. The world that Pius XI grew up in, the pre-World War I world, ended. In 1925, I'm sure that he hoped to reestablish a bunch of it. But that tribulation continued. What emerged was different. What emerged had the power of the atom, something that had not been from the beginning of creation that God created until now. The world continues. Now more than ever, because of that, to need that law of Christ. It would seem to me that we have erected a whole lot of abominations in places they should not be. I'm going to grab a section of today's reading a little out of order. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as the branch becomes tender and puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place. World's end. Harvests come. The fig leaves of our world don't appear full for harvest, but instead feel like late autumn, already stripped. Pray the tribulation doesn't come in winter, but seem appropriate. But whether that's just overwrought pastoral speculation or something even worse, there's a difference between the end of a world and the end of the world. The one, we should be able to see some signs. The lesson of the fig tree. The other one is beyond us. Concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. But only the Father. Nevertheless, whether we are in tribulation or whether we are in unknowingness about the end, Jesus gives us a couple of points of consolation. The first is simply that it is not possible for the elect to be led astray permanently. The elect. Revelations 144,000 have been sealed outside of time. And that seal has been placed on your forehead and your heart in the baptism that has marked you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. You have been sealed. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith, and you will be delivered. Christ is King, and His eternal decree stand. The second part of the consolation that Jesus gives us is given in that apocalyptic language that starts the gospel lesson. In those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Today, this old world, while it is under the kingship of Jesus, it's also run by the powers that be. The powers that were put in place at the creation. The powers of which many rebelled, like Satan. And when Jesus talks about the sun and the moon and the stars, he's talking about the powers in the heavens. And the day is coming when those rebellious and recalcitrant powers will fall. The day is soon to come when they will be thrown down forever. Then you will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out his angels to gather his elect. The days of the powers that be, which bring the tribulation upon this world, are numbered because Christ is King. And his kingdom is coming in its fullness. And the kingdom of Christ comes in its power and its glory in a way that can no longer be denied or ignored. So, what do we do? Be on your guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when that time will come. How do we keep awake? It's like a man going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his work. The commandments, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. The world may not be listening to the holy law of Christ. It seems to be running away from it at a rather fast pace. But you know. Christ has given all of us his word. He's told us how the household of God works. And he's left it to us, each of us with our own word. The law of Christ is the law of that household. We may not have complete freedom to regulate our public lives according to that law. Our ability in that seems to be shrinking. The tribulation may be coming closer. But in our private lives, in our lives together here, in our work in the household, we can live according to the word of Christ. We can strive for sanctified lives. How do we stay awake? We do the work that Christ has given us to do. We do what is in front of us. But why? Confirmation kids know the first line of every answer to the law is that we should fear and love God. We should fear God because he is the king. You do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or in the morning. Our personal world might be at any stage of its existence, but the lesson of the fig tree tells us nothing about when Christ returns. But the king will return to claim his household. And there's a judgment of that household. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. The second coming, though, is also a day of love. Because that day is our day of deliverance. Today, we work in the midst of tribulation. It's done often against the powers that be. It's done in toil and sweat. It's done in the heat of the sun, in the midst of danger. On that day, whatever the work of the household becomes on that day, we will be delivered from that opposition. The world that today groans against us will be set right. And all that works will be done according to the law of Christ. The peace that eludes us today will be the foundation of everything. And maybe, as my favorite Christmas hymn puts it, all idols then shall perish, and Satan's lying cease. And Christ will raise his scepter, decreeing endless peace. Not just the day of fear, but for the elect, a day of love, in the decree of Christ the King. Amen.